This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kevin Wong in Singapore. Kevin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny. And I'm back from a short break. And immediately in the last five trading days, we see a dramatic turnaround in the markets.
Yes, you missed all the fun while you were away. We have actually, over the last day or so, seen global oil prices jump after President Trump said its Navy had intercepted and seized an Iran-flagged cargo ship. And the benchmark oil price for, say, Brent crude has jumped around 6% as we speak. Of course, last week when I spoke to Trader Nick on Friday, we'd seen oil prices absolutely plummet. On Saturday, Iran said it was closing the strait again and that any ship that it approached would be targeted. So it really is turbulent. It really is topsy-turvy. And we were speaking off-air just now. Even though things look pretty dire at times when you consider the repercussions of closing the Strait of Hormuz, markets are comparatively lethargic. Why do you think that is?
What I think markets got a bit sick and tired about the current situation, especially the outcome coming from the key stakeholders, especially from the US side of the story, where we start to see US President Donald Trump portraying one form of a rhetoric. Sometimes he may turn a bit hawkish. Sometimes he offers an olive branch towards the Iranians. So from market perspective right now, if you look at the current situation that happened over the weekend, right? So if you look at things happen over the weekend, that is actually a risk of event because with this reclosure of the Strait of Hormuz, and as well as there's this military action by the US Navy to actually prevent an Iranian oil tanker from shipping up their oils from the Strait of Hormuz, that constitute a potential military strike. But however, if you look at how markets take this into account, is we do not have a kind of a major risk of movement versus if a similar such movement has been seen in the last 3 to 4 weeks. But in fact, if you look at right now, like we stated earlier on in our discussion, is that the lethargicness is there. I suspect market participants right now wants to have a clear official statement coming up from both sides before embarking on taking on of a net significant short-term position or bets in the markets. So if you look at the situation right now, yes, oil prices gap up in today's early Asia session, still holding their gains. We talk about West Texas oil futures is up about 4%, Brent crude oil futures up about 5%. But however, both of these global benchmark futures are still below their 20-day moving averages. So that actually indicate to us that the bulls are not taking any significant outright long position in oil prices because of that lethargicness that we discussed earlier, which is i.e. they want to hear the official statement from both sides, which potentially could happen because right now from the White House administration, they have kind of announced stating that a U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance will now travel back again to Pakistan to kickstart another round of peace deal negotiation talks or resolution talks with the Iranian counterparts tomorrow, which is Tuesday. And that also jumps in line with the current temporary ceasefire agreement that is also set to expire on Tuesday night US time. So I believe that the timing is between 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Singapore time. Then if you convert that to Asia session, that will be 22nd of April, Wednesday. Singapore timing will be around 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Singapore timing.
Tuesday is set to be a very busy day, Kelvin, because we've got those supposed negotiations beginning again in Pakistan between the Americans and the Iranians. We're also going to be hearing from Kevin Warsh, who many expect is going to be the new Fed chief. He's going to be front and center at his confirmation hearing before the Senate Banking Committee, really delivering the first real test of how Trump's nominee to succeed Jerome Powell could reshape monetary policy at a time when the global economy is already facing seismic shifts because of what's going on. Now, the smart money has always thought Warsh as being more of a dove, because we all know that Donald Trump would prefer lower interest rates. And actually, when we were talking just before, you were saying that markets are now pricing in an earlier rate cut than we first thought a few weeks ago.
Yes, precisely. So if you look at the situation right now by Fed Funds futures traders, they're now looking for a revival of interest rate cut again before 2026 ends. So the last meeting of this year, we talk about the FOMC meeting, which is on the December the 9th. So previously, during the onset of the US-Iranian war conflict, there were totally a reduction of interest rate cutbacks from about 60%, then it dropped down to 30%, then eventually it dropped down to 0%. That means market is not looking for any cuts at all this year. But right now, due to that potential lethargicness in the situation that's taking over in the Middle East, and with the possibility of that ceasefire that could actually prolong going forward. So who knows, we may start to have the third round of peace deal negotiation again if the second round coming out on this Tuesday is not that 100% successful. With that ceasefire being prolonged further, there could be a chance of oil prices stabilizing around this level. That means not spiking up to about 120, or even at the start of the war conflict, some market pundits are looking at $200 per barrel. So with that being said, Fed Funds futures traders now are looking for a coin flip. So there is a slight chance, about 50% chance, that the Fed will revive the interest rate cut on the last meeting of this year, which is 12th of December the 9th, okay, 2026. So that also boils down to how Fed Chair nominee Kevin Warsh portray himself, the way he speaks, and during the Senate confirmation hearing. So I believe that the senators will actually ask him about his view on the U.S. economy going forward in the current situation. And bear in mind that previously he was a kind of more hawkish, okay, before he start to shift his tone to be in line with the White House administration. So previously, he was an advocate of a quantitative tightening. That means he doesn't like a significant expansion of the Fed balance sheet. So we know that since 2 years ago, the current Fed Chair Powell has embarked on QT, and right now he put the QT has been on the pause. So the senator, I believe they will actually ask him back about this balance sheet situation again. So if he starts to put it in a way that previously his balance sheet view of not very in favor of an expansionary was no longer relevant in the current context at this moment in time, perhaps we will start to see a much more portraying of Kevin Warsh being a more dovish Fed chair, and that could kind of increase the interest rate cutbacks. But bear in mind, that is only one part of the equation. The other part of the equation will all depending on how oil prices react in the next few days, in line with the ongoing so-called second round of peace talks resolution that's going to be held between these two key stakeholders, US and Iran. And one thing to take note of is that the US dollar did not rally this morning, despite the fact that oil prices rose. So in fact, the US dollar is almost trading unchanged right now, after failing to break above that key range resistance that has been in play for almost a year. So that's since May last year. So that is the 100.55 level.
Going back to Kevin Warsh, Kevin, it is actually going to be quite difficult for commentators to dissect really what he does say, because as you said, markets are so turbulent at the moment. Whatever he says might be relevant one minute and a completely irrelevant the next, because we are all waiting to see what happens from the geopolitical point of view as far as the Middle East goes. But let's move on now and talk about the rest of the week and the data that we'll be seeing over the next few days. What should we look out for?
Sure. So one of the key highlights to look out for this week will be the release of preliminary PMI data compiled by S&P Global. So both the manufacturing and services PMI data, so that will be the flash data out for April. So that will cover into the account during the onset of the US-Iran war that kick-started during late February, stretching until March. So market participants will be looking at, would there be a deterioration in this survey-based data, especially for various economies for the US? Because if you look at since the start of this year, the services activity in the US has been pretty much resilient. And if it continues to hold well above the 50 level mark for the services activities, that could actually kind of give a bit of consolidation towards the market, stating that perhaps the worst of the decline that is being seen on the US stock market has already ended in the backdrop, and market will be focusing ahead of earnings. And do not forget over here is that market will be also paying close attention to some of the sub-component within this PMI data, especially on the cost of doing business, which is the input cost over here. So we know that oil prices kind of indirectly contribute to the input cost of doing business over here. And if input cost continues to rise within this subcomponent of this PMI data, perhaps we will start to see a kind of a holdback by the boost in the US stock market. So we know that global stock market has risen dramatically. So we start to witness a very sharp bullish reversal in global equities since last week, where Trump and Iran agreed to a ceasefire, and there's a lot of rhetoric going up stating that there could be a potential peace deal going forward, as Trump touted that we are now coming towards the tail end of this war. So if input cost continues to rise, that means as portrayed by the sub PMI component, where focus on this cost of doing business in the various manufacturing and services industry of the various developed economies, that could put a cap on the boost. So perhaps we may start to see a bit of consolidation going forward this week.
Excellent. Very interesting to speak to you today. Thank you so much. We will speak to you again very soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.